Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern ahead of the Predators matchup with the Boston Bruins, one of the best teams, if not the best team, in the NHL. It's going to be a tough game tonight. Pre-game for the Predators game tonight starts at 6 o'clock. D-Mace is here. What's up, D-Mace? How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
My feet landed on the ground this morning,
so
I'm good.
That's the most important thing.
Exactly.
Willie Donick will join us in about 1 hour, but I want to start here.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we're having so much off-season discussion, obviously the quarterback discussion and the quarterback carousel, what the Titans decide to do at the quarterback position, not just in 2023, but what the plan is beyond Tannehill, beyond 2023, if the plan is to go beyond Tannehill in 2023, obviously that's going to be the most marquee conversation. Who's the guy under center? It's the most important position in sports for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, and also in tandem with that conversation, as we talk about the Tennessee Titans, not just the quarterback position, but also building around the quarterback position and the pieces around the quarterback, the weapons that the quarterback, whoever that quarterback might be in 23 and beyond, we have to talk about Treylon Burks. Because we talked about this with Jonathan Hutton yesterday, and he said a big conversation that we need to have and a big question mark surrounding this team in the offseason is, what does Treylon Burks want to decide to be in 2023? In 2022, he was drafted to be A.J. Brown. Whether that was a fair expectation of Treylon Burks or not, that's what it was. You traded A.J. Brown and you drafted Treylon Burks. That was the intention of Treylon Burks to be, was to fill in that spot that was left when they traded A.J. Brown. And that's obviously not what Treylon Burks was this season. Mm-hmm. Did he look promising? For sure. Did he start to show you, give you little breadcrumbs of what he could eventually become in the future? Yeah, I think that we all feel optimistic about Treylon Burks, but there are a whole lot of question marks about Treylon Burks. What is his ceiling? Can he stay healthy? So that, I think, is needs to be in tandem with the quarterback conversation, is what is Treylon Burks going to be in year two?
I think the kid's going to be okay. I think a lot of receivers, you know, from year one to year two. Now, some receivers, listen, they come into the league and they explode. I think you see that more times than not in today's NFL, because a lot of what they do in college translate to the NFL because the game plans and how they run the offenses is so spread out. So a lot of these young men are coming in, especially first-rounders. First, second-rounders come in and they play very quickly. There's no longer sit back, watch. You pick up on a game, and then the next year you get thrown in there. And all these kids are thrown in there right away, mm-hmm. and they're expected to perform.
The expectations year one are very,
absolutely.
Very high.
Absolutely. So if you look at Treylon and his season, had he played 17 full games, he probably would have reached 1,000 yards. It would have been close to it because I think he had, 400 or something. Yeah, so if you average it out, it would probably have been closer to 1,000 yards. If not, he would have had a lot more targets because he was, frankly, other than Chigakonkwo and Austin Hooper at the end, he was their only legitimate pass catcher on the outside, their threat.
Mm-hmm.
So coming into year two, I'm not worried. I'm not so much worried about him in regards to what he's going to do in the offseason to prepare himself for the season. I think the question should be, will this offense allow him to be the player that they want him to be? Will this offense be like it was last year? Will they solidify that offensive line somewhat? Because if he plays 17 games, I tend to believe he will be a 1,000-yard receiver because that's what he's shown me. My eyes didn't fool me when I watched him play. He is, if you want to compare him to A.J. Brown, he gave you that when he played. He was physical. He was a hand catcher. He ran well after the catch. He's a big body guy. He can go up and get it. He showed you everything that you needed to see from a big-time receiver except staying on the field. That's going to be his task. What do I do in the offseason, those small things to make sure that I don't have those hamstring pulls, that I don't do these soft tissue injuries?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't help a concussion, or you can't help, you know, God forbid, I'm not going to even say that part. But what you can control more than likely is the soft tissue things, you know, working to make sure your body can hold up. Because he didn't know what he was getting into this year. He expected to come in and, you know, have somebody on the side of him that can take some pressure off of him. Lo and behold, he gets here, and he is the weapon, the only legitimate weapon on the outside. So I think this year, upcoming, he knows exactly what he's getting into. He's going to condition his body as such. I don't expect him to come back out of shape and dealing with asthma and all that other stuff. I expect him to come in, hit the ground running, and
you
to show.
So.
Well, these are – I don't even hope. I expect him to do it because of what I've, what I've seen and what he's shown me. I expect him to come in. One, I expect him to be a pro. So if I expect you to be a pro, there's no hoping and wishing. You got drafted in the first round. You show that you can play in this league. You show that you can play big time. So I expect you to come in here the next following year and to improve on everything from last year. As a head coach, as a position coach, there's no hoping and wishing with him. I expect you to do this because you show me. It's not like you came into the season and you didn't show me anything. And I'm thinking like, man, I hope this guy comes in next season ready to go. No, you showed me that you can be a number one guy. So that's what I expect from you.
And that's what we drafted you to be.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And I think that that's, it's important for a few reasons. And I think the most important reason is of what Treylon Burks wants to be or will become in year two. It's almost a question that the Titans already have to answer for themselves right now, because they have to decide what resources they want to spend on a wide receiver in this offseason. They're going to have to spend resources on a wide receiver. It cannot be Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook, Akine. I am fully expecting the Titans to move on from Robert Woods in the offseason.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find a legitimate solution at the wide receiver position. But what kind of assets do they want to spend on a receiver? This is a receiver draft that it's deep, meaning that you can find a serviceable receiver in rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get the return that maybe some first-rounders have given you in the past, like a Chris Olave this past year or a Jamar Chase in the 2020 draft. It doesn't seem to me that there are those elite, like really high-class receivers in this year's draft. So if you think that Treylon Burks can turn into and will become your number one wide receiver in the 2023 season, then you could probably look at the second or third round and say, okay, we'll get another guy in here, a younger guy that can start to develop and be Treylon Burks' number two. But if you're not set on what Treylon Burks can be as a wide receiver this season, if you don't know if he can grow into that number one guy, I'm with you. We saw flashes of that this past season, but we didn't see the consistency of it. So the Titans have to decide, is he going to be that number one guy, or is he going to be the number two guy? And we have to go out and find our number one. Well, if you need to go out and find a number one, you're going to have to allocate a good bit of resources to that, to finding that number one, whether that's a pick, whether that's money, whether that's looking out in free agency and finding an older guy that can kind of bring Treylon Burks along before you find that next number one. And that's a question that the Titans have to answer right now, is what is Treylon Burks going to be in 2023? Because they're going to have to find either that number one to fill in that role or that number two that'll ultimately complement him if Treylon Burks rises to the occasion.
Well, I think, in today's football, I think you got to have – there needs to be a 1A and a 1B. There's no longer –
so true.
You know, there's no longer, okay, you know, we have our number one receiver, and then we have a number two that really can't play a number one if he needs to, but he's a solid, good number two. But if I need to elevate him as number one, we're going to have some problems. No, I think you need a 1A and a 1B. You look at Cincinnati. They have a 1A. They have a 1B.
Philadelphia,
1A, 1B. When you start to, unless you got that quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and you can just throw the ball to any and everybody, you know, then it's a little bit different. But in with the Titans, I believe that Burks is a one. I truly believe that. Do they need another guy? I think they need another veteran guy. They need another veteran guy that can or has been or is a number one, i.e., you know,
T. Higgins.
T. Higgins down in up in Cincinnati. If they can pull off something to get a T. Higgins, I think now you have your 1A and your 1B. You have two guys that now the defense has to – What you want to be able to do as an offense on the outside, you want to be able to force that defense to play everything honest. Mm-hmm. They can't tilt one way or the other. They just got to play it honest. Why? Because if you take away this guy's going to burn you. If you take away this guy's going to burn you. If you try to take away the two outside guys, well, then a tight end is going to burn you. That's what Philadelphia has. That's what Cincinnati has. If you try to take away Ja'Marr Chase or A.J. Brown, then Smith and T. Higgins, you know, they'll go off. If you try to take away those two guys, then they got tight ends that can you know, take the top off if need be. They can make plays if need be. Well, the Titans are in a situation where they do have a legitimate, I believe, number one receiver. They have a guy that has shown flashes. He can be a number one tight end in Chigakonkwo. They have another guy in Austin Hooper who's a veteran guy, savvy guy. He started to pick up more on the offense later on in the season, so you expect him to come in the next following season to be much better. You need that other guy on the side of Treylon Burks that makes that defense say, you know what, we can't double nobody. Mm-hmm. You know, we just got to play this zone honest. And when you play zone, what happens? Derrick Henry runs all over you.
Right.
So you got to me, in today's NFL, if you have an opportunity to get a 1A and a 1B, you better take it. Because if you don't, you're going to make it extremely hard moving forward to try to score points unless you have that all-world tight end like Kansas City does or like Baltimore does.
Where Travis Kelce is basically exactly. Just an extension of the receiver core. He is the receiver core. But coming up next, I want to get into what, D-Mace, you have seen from Treylon Burks that makes you feel so confident mm-hmm. that Treylon Burks can be a number one and what he needs to do to prove to the rest of us and to the rest of the league that he is a number one. We'll get into all of that coming up next. And I see your phones. We are right to those coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're out here. Pete and Terry's ahead of the Predators matchup with the Boston Bruins tonight. 1025-1063 the game.
And so they need to keep a close eye on that. Is he a number one wide receiver is what I'm getting at. Is he the alpha? He looked like it in the SEC. If he's not, if you're hesitant on that, you've got to, I mean, at 11, they've got a great shot at getting a premier wide out there. So that's the other way I would lean, determining factor being where is Burks and the answer there. If he's your number one and you invested 16, but you traded away AJ, whatever you want to say, that just can't be the answer. You building forward, you've got to be able to say he's the guy. We're going to build around him. There's speed in this draft. Throughout at wide receiver, they're going to add that for sure. The practical answer would be offensive tackle because of what they've lost in previous drafts and what they desperately need now to protect both the quarterback and get the run game going again. But also the talent at the top at wide receiver, Willie, may be too good to pass up at wide out if you're not certain that Burks is the number one guy like they were last year. But last year, he was also, the fourth or fifth wideout taken through 16 picks. I mean, it was a run on them. And up top this year, there's plenty of solid talent there, too. I go offensive tackle or wide receiver based on the needs.
There you go. That was Outkick 360's Jonathan Hutton on the show yesterday. And he asked the question of the Titans are going to have to go out and find a wide receiver one if Treylon Burks isn't going to be your guy next year. And it's easy for us to sit up and say, you know, hey, this is what Treylon Burks needs to do next year to certify himself as a number one. But the Titans need to know the answer to that now because they need to start tooling around him if he's not that guy. If they do think he's the guy, then you move forward with Treylon Burks as a wide receiver one and then also build around him as well. So, D-Mace, you say what you've seen from Treylon Burks, you think he's a number one.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from him that makes you believe that?
Because he's shown that he can beat press coverage. He's shown that he can beat one-on-one coverage. He's shown that he can read the defenses and find the zones in the defenses. He's a hands catcher. He doesn't drop many balls. I think he only dropped one ball this year. And if I remember, it was the in route that you know, he didn't have to jump for it.
But the one that he jumped for.
Yeah, and he ended up in his back shoulder and he dropped.
And there was one that he dropped, but I think it was one of those that you could look at and say, I don't remember what game it was, and that probably doesn't get help at all with the zero contact. But I think it was an overthrow that he could have gotten, but it wasn't the easiest ball to catch. So I don't know if I would necessarily put that on him or on the quarterback.
Yeah, it all depends on how they classify a drop in this league. You know, he's shown that he can make the tough catches. He's shown that he's good at running after the catch. He's explosive once he gets the ball in his hands. He's not a 4-3 guy, 4-2, 4-4 guy.
But you can't expect a 240-pound wide receiver to be a 4-3 guy.
But he has that burst. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tackle him when he gets the ball in his hands. And I only see that getting better because what you got to understand, too, I think a lot of people do, when these kids, and I was just reminded of this by TD, when these kids come in their first year, what are they preparing for? Mm-hmm. They're preparing for combines. They're preparing for drills. They're not preparing to condition themselves for the NFL and the grind of the NFL. They're preparing themselves to position themselves for the draft. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. They're preparing themselves to get paid. That's all they're doing. And it's not until that second season that you really – even the guys that did well this season, their second season should be much better. It may not be better in regards to numbers. The numbers might not be – say, for instance, Olave, what did he have, 1,000 yards. It may not be – the next season, it may not be 1,600 yards. But you're going. If you watch him, you're going to say, "Man, this kid has gotten better." Mm-hmm. You know, just with the feel of the game. And I think now that Treylon has an opportunity to work out specifically for a season, don't have to worry about a 40, don't have to worry about a 3-cone drill, have to worry about a bench press. Just work for the season. You will see a much refined and better player, more importantly, a better route runner, because I'm sure those are things that he's going to look at and say, okay, if I want to elevate my game, these are the things that I need to pinpoint to get better at. So to me, he's shown me all the things that I need to see that can make him a elite number one wide receiver. He just has to put it all together. I believe he will. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem like a guy that's a slacker. I think he will. He'll come out next year. And if they implement him in the offense the way they should, then he will be a number one guy. If they do what they did last year, then he won't. That's just plain and simple. Mm-hmm. They got to figure out a way how to keep this young man in the game. First, get him in the game.
Right.
He needs to be a focal point of your passing game. Once he's a focal point, make sure you do any and everything you can to incorporate him into the game early and often. If you do that, I think the dividends will be paid in regards to the product you see on the field. He will be a much better. I promise you this, and I would be blown away if it doesn't. He will be a much better receiver this year than he was last year.
Any reason other than just the mental, like the mindset going into this season of are the expectations of me as a wide receiver in this league rather than, you know, preparing for the combine?
I think that's really the biggest hurdle. A lot of these players, not just wide receivers, but all these players after your first year, now being able to know exactly what you're getting yourself into. Because your first year, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Yeah, you've heard about the NFL. You heard how fast and physical and everything it was. And you've probably played in the SEC and thought, man, this league is fast and physical. No, when you step up to this league, it's the SEC times two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
best of the best in
exactly.
The SEC and then some.
Absolutely. So it's not like when you come in, your only reference is what you've seen. Until you're actually in it, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in it now. Now he understands what it takes to play a full 17-game season. He's going to prepare himself for 17-plus games. So I expect him, and if he doesn't, then shame on him. But I expect him to come back and be a much better receiver than he was last year.
I do also think there was a good bit of the Titans not doing Treylon Burks any favors.
Yeah.
Of not giving him the football. Like, so many times watching the Titans this past season, I'm like, can you please stop throwing a screen to Jeff Swaim when your first round wide receiver is wide open past the sticks? Like, why aren't we feeding Treylon Burks the ball on every single freaking down? See what you have in your rookie wide receiver.
And that's what you need to do. You know, there's been going into the season last year, and after a few games, you figure, okay, they're going to find a way to incorporate him into the game. And they didn't. And I can remember specifically coming on here and saying, man, listen, next game, they need to come out. First three or four passes need to be to Treylon Burks. Nobody else. Why? Because you want to establish this kid very early. And then what did they do? The very next game, what did they do? They came out and they tried to get Treylon Burks the ball early, even in the preseason. Even after Mike Vrabel said, we don't do anything to try to specifically get guys the ball. What in the hell are you talking about, man?
Yeah,
like, dude, that was your number. That was your first round pick. You try to do any and everything you possibly can to get him the ball to see if he can play.
It's when not you rocket
don't,
science.
Exactly. When you don't, you're doing him a disservice, and you're doing your team a disservice. Like, you don't. Your best player on the team, you don't shy away from him and say, "Oh, we're not." Are you trying to play this mental game with the opposing team? Because if he is, it's not working.
Don't be cute.
Because they know he's the best player on your team in regards to catching the football, so they're going to prepare as such. And if you don't give him the ball, well, you're just helping out the defense. That's all you're doing. So you're coming into this season, Tim Kelly. Your main goal, other than to make sure that offensive line, the blocking schemes are the way they needed to be. And that goes along with Tim Kelly and the offensive line coach. But beside that, we already know what Derrick Henry is. We don't need to reinvent Derrick. We know what he is. We know what he can do. Your job, I believe, is to find out how to get Treylon Burks the ball more often. Don't wait until the second quarter to try to throw him a screen and try to go from there. No, he needs to be – your first 15 plays should be at least five to him. He's your number one guy. That's what I'm used to. If the first 15 – when I was playing, first 15, I looked. It was at least five or six plays on that first 15 that could come to me. Why? Because they knew I was the number one guy, and they wanted to get me into the game, get me in the flow. It might not have worked out that way once the game started because how the defense plays. But the offensive coordinator made a conservative effort to say, hey, listen, this is our number one pass catcher. So we're going to make sure in his first 15 that at least six balls has the potential to come his way. I don't think they did that with Treylon Burks last year. This year needs to be a different story.
And there's a reason why Todd Downing got fired, and that is one of the reasons. Because you don't look at Andy Reid feeding the ball to Kadarius Toney or Marquez Valdez-Scantling. No, it's going to Travis Kelce all the time because that is your number one pass catcher.
Exactly.
Because that's how it should be. So, I mean, I see a lot of people in the text line, and we'll get to your phones coming up next, 615-737-1025. See a lot of people saying, well, what if Burks doesn't turn into that number one wide receiver? Well, there are two things. One, you go out and you find that number one wide receiver. Two, you lose.
Yeah.
If Treylon Burks, if you drafted him to be your number one guy, and he cannot turn into that number one guy, you lose.
But, again, there's
I'm not saying he won't.
No. But I'm saying to the caller, to the texters. Again, there's nothing that I've seen that has shown me that he doesn't have the ability to be the number one guy. I'm watching this kid, and there's just like AJ, there was nothing that told me AJ other than him being on the field. And it's the same with Treylon Burks. But there was nothing that I saw that told me AJ Brown was not going to be a number one receiver. Treylon Burks is the same way. Davis was different. It wasn't necessarily – I thought Davis is a great route runner. He catches the ball well with his hands. He can get – to me, he didn't have that dog in him. So I thought there was always going to be that he can be a number one, but he's not a legitimate number one. He's more of a two and a damn good two. But he could be a number one for a couple of games, but not the whole season because he doesn't have that in him, I felt. Treylon Burks and A.J. Brown, they do have that in them. And they have everything else in them. So what I saw in A.J. and what A.J. did, I see the same things in Burks. If Burks stays on the field, then Burks is going to produce. If he's not on the field, he's not going to produce, flat out. But there's nothing. No one can convince me that what I've seen with my eyes is going to tell me any different than what I've said to y'all. He's the number one guy.
The only thing that concerns me, can he stay on the field?
And that's about it.
Can you stay healthy?
Can you stay healthy?
And can you stay on the field? Can you get on the field? Those are the number one things with Treylon Burks. He's got the talent.
Exactly.
He's shown us. He's got the talent. You got to stay on the field consistently. That's the only thing. 615-737-1025. We are right to your phones coming up next. Caroline Willie Demas, we're out here at Pete and Terry's 1025, 1063 The Game.
Is the free agent slash draft receiver market situation as bad as it looks to me at initial glance here? It looks like it just is a bad year.
Yeah, it is. It's not a great year. I actually talked to somebody when I was at the Senior Bowl about the draft, and he was like, not a good draft. He's just like, it's a really mediocre draft. And you know, he literally said to me, like, we're looking at it, the strength is in the tight ends. They're like, that's not a good sign. you know, wide receiver, I asked him about the wide receiver. He said, look, we had bumper crop classes for a couple of years in a row. It's a little bit of a down.
There you go. That was Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. The outlook of the wide receiver draft this year, I think it's just different than what we are used to in the past couple of years. I felt like, you know, in recent history, maybe the last, you know, 3 to 5 years in the draft, there have been a collection of like 3, 4, or 5 guys that are like certified first rounders. Like this team is drafting you to be your wide receiver of the future. I don't see that guy in this year's draft. I think Quentin Johnson might be the closest thing out of Ohio State, but really beyond that, you know, if Jalin Hyatt goes in the first round, I probably wouldn't be surprised. If he goes in the third round, I probably wouldn't be surprised. And the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But we've got a lot of people with their input on the wide receiver position for the Titans this season. D-Mays, unless you have a thought.
Let's go to the callers or texters.
To the phones. Ron Texan says, I believe a wide receiver is only as good as the quarterback throwing to him. I think that that could be true to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. By no means do I think that Kirk Cousins is even a top 10 or 15 quarterback in the NFL. Justin Jefferson is probably the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah.
So I think it's true to a certain extent.
Yeah, because this is not the NFL of 1990 and 1980 or even early 2000s. It's a different NFL where these offenses are more spread out. They're more dynamic in what they do. They're more versatile in how they line up and in the packages. So it doesn't, you know, what he's saying, it did have some validity 20, 25, 30 years ago. But I think now, as if it's a good quarterback, then he can work with a really good receiver. You know, even Chris Olave last year. Is it Olave? The kid that's in – because I get the two kids mixed up.
Olave's in New Orleans.
And what you call it? The other one's in the Jets, with the Jets. So who is Chris Olave, and who is the second one? Gosh. With the,
Wilson. He was rookie of the year.
Garrett Wilson didn't have the best quarterback.
No. Oh, the Jets quarterback situation.
Exactly. He didn't have the best quarterback, but he still was able to put up numbers. Why? Because he's a difference maker. Mm-hmm. That's just what he is. So, yeah, at times it can be that way, like a Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, you know, guys like that. But more than not, it's usually you have good quarterbacks throwing it to either good receivers or elite receivers.
And I think that, like, an elite quarterback can make an okay to good wide receiver look great.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that an elite wide receiver can still be elite with a good, okay quarterback.
Exactly.
Especially in the NFL, in this day and age.
Yeah.
Jeff from Tennessee Texans says, as long as you have Tannehill, the opposing defense will never be worried about any receiver beating them here.
You can go ahead and answer that, because that's just...
Go ahead.
That's not true. I'm just going to say that. That is not true. Defenses, people act like Tannehill's a bum.
That's what really bugs me.
Do people just go back to the Cincinnati game? If you do, then okay. If that's your reasoning behind some of the way you feel about Ryan Tannehill, then okay. Mm-hmm. But at a point, you got to get over that game. Because before that game and since that game, he's a really good quarterback. He's a top 15 quarterback in the National Football League. That's just who he is. So I don't understand this. Well, as long as he's underneath center, defenses are not going to respect the passing game. They respected what A.J. Brown was here.
If you don't respect the passing game, you're dumb.
Exactly. Like, I mean, they had to put more emphasis to stop Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But it's not like they didn't respect the passing game. Now, this year might have been a little bit different. But before this year, they had to worry about A.J. Brown. They had to worry about Jonnu Smith. They had to worry about Corey Davis. You know, they had to worry about guys in the passing game. So it's not just this, oh, you know, defenses don't care about Ryan Tannehill because he doesn't, you know, threaten them down the field.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead and line up man-to-man if you want to once they get another guy on alongside Treylon Burks and see what happens.
Good luck.
Exactly.
I think that there is a really unfair discourse surrounding Ryan Tannehill. And after that Cincinnati game, I was ready to run him out of town. Mm-hmm. Because I looked at that team and I thought that it was constructed to win a championship. I really did think that team was so good. And if Ryan Tannehill just didn't throw three interceptions, they would have beaten the Bengals. Mm-hmm. You go on to the AFC Championship game. If you win that, then you take on the Rams in the Super Bowl. And that's a team that the Tennessee Titans already beat in the regular season. Mm-hmm. The path seemed so clear. But I look at Ryan Tannehill this past year, and he was not what was wrong with this offense,
exactly,
considering everything that was stacked against him. An incompetent play caller, an offensive line that, you know, was made up and constructed with a bunch of guys off the street. You have a rookie wide receiver, and that's really about it that you're throwing to. You have Austin Hooper, a rookie tight end, and a rookie wide receiver, and then the rest of the wide receiver core was just guys. And that's no disrespect to the Nick Westbrook-Ikines of the world. That's just the reality of it. And Ryan Tannehill still did exactly what you asked him to do. Ryan Tannehill is not an elite quarterback.
No.
Ryan Tannehill is what he is, and Ryan Tannehill is not some bum. And so I don't think it's necessarily fair. Kevin texts in and says, not sure if folks understand for NFL rookies that you basically trained nonstop for your last college season, played that season, came right out, went to the combine, prep for your personal work. You get drafted with a new playbook, mini camp, regular camp, first pro season. It's like a nonstop 2-year whirlwind of football until they get that first offseason and can take a deep breath and regroup. It's very tough. I don't doubt that it's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of rookie wide receivers that come into the league, not just this year, but, you know, in the history of the league, where they can come in year one and be difference makers.
Yeah, you're going to have some that come in. And I think in this league, if you're a starter and you have a good team, you have an okay team, you know, okay to good team. You have, you know, a good quarterback to great quarterback to elite quarterback, whatever you want to call them, coming in as a rookie. And if you are a starter, 17 full games, you don't get hurt. You should put up some numbers that are decent for a rookie. Now, some rookies are going to come in, and you know, like Jamar Chase, Jefferson, who else? Odell Beckham did it when he was a rookie. You're going to have some rookies. There are more guys that came out.
Olave this year.
Yeah, Olave.
He was just on a bad team.
Wilson. All those guys come in. And no, they're going to have those bigger numbers. But then you look at some of the other receivers that got drafted along with them. Their numbers were not horrible, but they were not their numbers. They were like in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make them bad receivers. That just some guys come along a little bit faster than others. Some guys are looked at on their team a little bit different from others. Wilson and Olave and Jefferson when he came out and Chase when he came out, they were looked at differently with their teams in respect to their teams. Treylon Burks comes out. He doesn't look the same. They don't look at him the same way that those other teams look at their receivers. Why?
You think so?
Yeah, because it showed they didn't target him enough when he did play. You look at Olave, you look at Wilson, you look at these guys, Jefferson and Chase, when they first, their first years, they got targeted, and it was blatant. It wasn't that way. Even when Treylon Burks was on the field, they did not target him enough until like the toward the end of the season. Why they did it that way, I have no idea.
And that's what I want to know. Was that just offensive coordinator incompetence? Did they not trust Treylon Burks? Mm-hmm. And I think that we kind of have to answer that question, because if it was purely just offensive coordinator incompetence, then hopefully you found a solution to that this season. But if they didn't trust Treylon Burks, or if they couldn't, you know, they couldn't rely on Treylon Burks, whether that's fair or not, mm-hmm. that's a completely different story.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think it was it probably was a little bit of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Treylon Burks, you know, what he had to deal with during training camps, in mini camps, and him trying to get himself physically up to go. Then he had to deal with the injury along with that. And then, you know, he set back a little bit. But then when you put him out there, he probably is not fully immersed in the playbook the way you want him to. Mm-hmm. Not to say that he wasn't in the playbook, because I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
But it takes time to grasp all of those concepts, and he probably was a little bit behind
he
everybody
started
else.
Three steps back.
Exactly. Absolutely. So it probably was a little bit of all of that mm-hmm. you just said. It probably, well, this kid can play, but you know, he's not physically ready to go out there and play the way we want him to. He's not mentally ready, meaning he doesn't know the playbook as well as we want him to know it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know all the receiver spots the way we want him to know it. So, for instance, we can't go in there and say, call a play out and say, hey, Treylon, on this play, we want you to line up at the slot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they probably couldn't do that because he didn't know exactly what to do in the slot when the coverage rotated one way, or if they play cover two, cover three, cover four, man to man. He probably didn't know all the nuances in regards to what do I do in this specific coverage. So they held off a little bit until he started learning more of the offense. So I think it was a combination of a lot of things. That's why this season, I truly believe that he will come in and he will be frankly, a 180 from what he was last year.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get back into your phones. I see them lining up. We will get to those coming up next. But also, I want to hit on this, because there is a name that could be back in the NFL that D-Mace thinks the Titans fans should be a little bit worried about. And we'll explain coming up next. It is Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. And hey, if you screwed up Valentine's Day, it's okay. It's not too late. Because 1025 The Game and Green Trees Company have your chance to make it up. Tune into the Chase and Michelle show tomorrow for your last chance to win tickets to see Adam Sandler at Bridgestone Arena, courtesy of Green Trees Company in Hendersonville. 1025-1063 The Game.
That's right, a big trade for the Jacksonville Jaguars under the assumption that Calvin Ridley would become eligible after being banished for 1 year, essentially indefinitely, with the opportunity to apply after a year for gambling on NFL games during the 2021 season. Sources say that Ridley has now applied for reinstatement. And that is significant because it is the first moment where he begins his road back. And this is the first day where he is allowed by the rule of his suspension to apply. He has done so, and now we wait. There is no firm timetable yet on when Commissioner Roger Goodell is going to make a decision, but presumably, if Ridley has not done any sort of gambling on NFL games, and you would hope that he would not, then he would be back for the Jaguars before the season. And, you know, for the Jaguars, they gave up some picks to get him. The Falcons actually benefit if he is reinstated, if he plays. That trade is actually worth more. So really, it's in everyone's best interest, including his, if he gets reinstated. Remember, it was $1,500 that he bet from his own phone on NFL games while he was away from the team, dealing with his own mental health, his own issues. But anyway, he has applied for reinstatement today, and we await word on when he will play again.
There you go. That was Ian Rappaport. Calvin Ridley has officially requested to be reinstated into the NFL. We're live out here at Pete and Terry's, and I already see a bunch of Boston Bruins fans beep bopping around Broadway. Those people are like Dallas Cowboys fans. They're freaking everywhere. Jeez, they're like ants to honey, Bruins fans, all over the place.
I take it you don't like them too much.
Not that I dislike the Bruins. Uh-huh. I just think it's wild. There are fan bases that is, and especially here, this is a fun place to travel. Uh-huh. But fan, like when the Bills were in town for uh-huh. the Monday night game last season, I couldn't see a single bit of Broadway that uh-huh. wasn't covered in that obnoxious, like, like red, white, and blue, like tiger print that the Buffalo Bills fans wear. But I hope they have a good time. Puck drop tonight at 7 o'clock. Preds taking on the Boston Bruins. But again, Calvin Ridley, he was suspended for a year from the NFL for betting on NFL games when he took a hiatus from the NFL, stepped away for mental health issues. As he stepped away, he bet on games. It was like, what, like $1,500 that he put on games. So he was suspended by the NFL for a year. And to be completely honest with you, I completely forgot that the Jags traded for Calvin Ridley. I mean, I haven't even thought about Calvin Ridley ever since, you know, November of 2021 when he initially got suspended by the league. So now he has requested to be reinstated by the NFL. I'm sure that's going to be a reinstatement that is approved by the NFL.
Yeah. You know, if he, like, you know, at the beginning, if he hasn't bet on any games, which I'm sure he has not bet on any games, then more than likely he will be reinstated back into the NFL. And that was a quiet move, I think, made. Nobody really paid attention to it, or they did.
Totally
forgot
about it.
But people sort of made fun of it, you know. you're not getting none of it. But that trade wasn't for last season. That trade was for this season and the season beyond. Why? Because they needed a legitimate deep threat number one guy. And Calvin Ridley had shown that for the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons wasn't getting rid of him prior to all this stuff, even with him, you know, dealing with some mental issues that he had to sort of work out on his own, or with his therapist and his circle of people.
Right.
But he was pretty much in their plans. This is a kid that came out, 3 years ago? Well, 2018.
18 draft.
He had almost 1,000 yards in 18, almost 1,000 in 19. 20 was his breakout year, 1,300 yards. And then, obviously, 21, he only played 5 games and then got suspended for the remainder of the game. So this is a legit number one guy. The Jaguars, I don't know what the compensation was, because if he plays, then we will know what they are, because I think it's tied to his production. So if he produces on the field and his time, you know, the amount of time he plays, then I'm pretty sure the draft, you know, draft position goes up.
Yeah, I think it was conditional picks.
Exactly.
Like if he plays X number of games across X number of years,
exactly,
it goes up.
So it goes up. So everybody wants him to play, but the Jacksonville Jaguars have gotten them a bona fide number one guy to go along with Christian Kirk and Marvin Jones and Zay Jones and the tight end,
Evan Engram.
So they have a more than a formidable passing unit, including the tight end. And that's not even talking about their running back coming out the backfield catching passes. So you look at this move that Jacksonville made, and it's essentially they got them a first-round receiver in a trade that may not cost them a lot of money or may not cost them a lot of picks, but they got a bona fide number one guy. And nobody said anything about this, because when he does come back, and if he comes back ready to play, just add him to the list of weapons that Trevor Lawrence has.
And I look at the Jags, and I do think there might be a little bit of an overreaction to what the Jags have done. Mm-hmm. Because what it took was a total mess up of epic proportions from the Tennessee Titans to go on to fire your general manager and go on a 7-game losing streak for the Jacksonville Jaguars to just barely win the division. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people are looking at the Jags winning the division and then winning that first game in the playoffs, beating the Chargers, and looking at the Jags like they're the new team to beat in the AFC. I've heard this from a lot of national pundits, that now the AFC South is going to be a gauntlet trying to get past the Jags. I don't view the Jags in that light. Mm-hmm. Is Trevor Lawrence only going to get better? Yeah, I can probably assume. Is adding Calvin Ridley to that pass-catching core, does that make them a little bit more intimidating? Yes, absolutely. I don't want to ignore that at all, because Calvin Ridley is a solid player. Like you said, put him alongside Christian Kirk. I think Travis Etienne is a really solid running back, but all of those pieces, it still doesn't make me think that that Goliath just got that much bigger. Because I also look at the Jags, one, you know, this season, took seven-game losing streak for the Titans for them to win the division. And also, now next year, The Jags have a first-place schedule. And when you play the Seahawks, well, the Jags have to play the 49ers. Mm-hmm. When you play the Chargers, well, the Jags have to play Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champions.
Well,
so I do think that this makes the Jags' pass-catching core better. This does make Trevor Lawrence even more of a threat, adding in Calvin Ridley. But I'm still not going to look at the Jags and say that they are some unbeatable monster in the AFC South.
Are they unbeatable? No. I don't think there's a team in the NFL as good as Philadelphia is and as good as Kansas City is with their quarterback. I still don't believe they're unbeatable. When I look at unbeatable teams, I look at that, you know, that New England team that, you know, in a regular season, they went 17-0 or 16-0. I look at that Chicago Bear team where the only loss was to the Miami Dolphins toward the end of the season. I think it was the end of the season in Miami. So when I look at unbeatable teams, I look at teams like that, that they both dominated on the defensive side of the ball as well as the offensive side of the ball. There's no team other than San Francisco may be close because they do dominate from the defense. And when they're fully healthy, they dominate from the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. But their problem is they don't have an elite quarterback.
Right.
So that always leaves them open to being beat by just about anybody.
The Eagles look pretty good.
Exactly. The Eagles look pretty good, but they got a lot of free agents next year. So I don't know if they may – I believe they will continue to win because of the weapons and the quarterback, but I don't think it will be as I don't think they will be as much of a Goliath this year in the NFC as they was. I don't think they will be a big enough a Goliath next year than they were this year. But if you look at Jacksonville, listen, Carolina, I know you're like, hey, listen, I cannot buy the Jacksonville Wildcats. They got to do, and I get you with that because I'm usually like, listen, you got to prove it to me another season. So I know exactly where you're coming from, but damn. That Jacksonville Jaguar team. And the only reason I'm saying this is because of the head coach. It's the Doug Peterson is a damn good coach. And thank God Trevor Lawrence, he and Trevor Lawrence were married together.
I'm with you because I was so nervous that Jacksonville was going to just completely waste Trevor Lawrence's talent.
He was going to end up being another David Carr.
And I know that would be a good thing in terms of the Tennessee Titans, but I hate to look at a talented quarterback just get completely wasted by an incompetent organization.
Exactly. So I was afraid, but they made the right decision in hiring Peterson. And what they have done is put together a very young team, a very good team, and a very aggressive team that finally figured out how to win toward the end of the season. Now, listen, even if the Titans were fully healthy, it still would have been a matchup problem for the Tennessee Titans. The Jaguars would have been. But then on the flip side, Jaguars would have had a hard time at stopping Derrick Henry running football because it's proven. They can't really stop him the way they would need to win football games. But believe me, Jacksonville is a team that people need to start watching out for. If this past season didn't show you how good they can be, then that's your fault. Because next year, the quarterback's going to be even better. And if he stays healthy, and if that team stays healthy, they're going to be a team a la Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not calling for them to be in the Super Bowl, but if they get there, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think I'd be a little bit surprised. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We know the Jets are desperate for a quarterback, but just how far are they willing to go? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.